For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. Do you know? And the start of that chapter, we find two men. We find a guy called Peter, and we find a guy called Cornelius. And the Bible tells us that they started to pray. They seem to be on their own. Do you know? We haven't got to pray in big companies. You know, we haven't got to pray when we come together with lots of people. But nevertheless, the Bible does tell us that is a good thing. Do you know? It's a good thing when people gather together to pray. But in this instance, these two guys were on their own, and they were praying. And you know, there's something happens when we open up a conversation with God. Something mysterious, something spectacular, something that we can't explain just occurs when we start to open up a conversation with God. And this was the case with these two guys, you know? And they were so different. They were from different walks of life. They were from different backgrounds. They had what seemed to be different purposes in their life. But nevertheless, they were apart and they were praying and something happened. Do you know? one of the guys, a guy called Peter. We all know about the Apostle Peter. You know, I've recently been to Rome, you know, and I spent a whole day in a church that was named after him, and it was spectacular. Do you know? I mean, how on earth you can spend a whole day in a church and not, you know, not grasp all that you see? I don't know. But we did. We spent all day there, and we came out, and it was spectacular. And despite my misconceptions, you know, I found it deeply spiritual. Do you know? This church was named after this guy called Peter. They had a big statue of him in there, above what was supposed to be his tomb. So he's had a monumental influence on this world. He's had a monumental influence on the history of Christianity. He's had a monumental influence which reaches right down to this present day. But you know, Peter was on his own. He was on top of a house in an insignificant town called Joppa, and he was praying. And Peter had put God in a box. Do you know? And despite who he was, despite his time with Jesus as he walked on this world, Peter had put God in a box. And Peter, with lots of people who were supposedly, who were in the church, lots of people who had believed and had become Christians at that time, they put God and put God's message into a box. They'd set limits on what God could do, and they'd set limits on God's message in breaking through into this world. They thought that Jesus was for the Jews. They thought that God's message was for a little country out in the Middle East. And you know, God had other ideas. God was saying that his message was for everyone. And you know that that is true, as true today as it was then. And I'll just come back to it in a minute. But you know, that can happen so easily to us, can't it? In whatever walk of life that we are in whatever, you know, whatever our circumstances are, you know, how easy it is to put God in a box. You know, I have done it in my life. You know, I've put God in a box. And I've said, you know, in my little way, how can you influence that? You know, how can you speak and be part of that church there? Or how can you possibly, you know, intervene in that situation? And we've all done it. And it is a danger, you know, that we can easily walk into in our minds. You know, a great theologian called Spurgeon, he said about this, and I'll read his words because they're a little bit complicated. He says, shake yourself up a little, my brother. If you are too precise, may the Lord set you on fire and consume you bonds of red tape. If you have become so improperly proper that you cannot commit a proper impropriety, then pray God to help you be less proper. Do you know? For there are many who will never be saved by your instrumentality while you study propriety. You know, it's a little bit of a mouthful, isn't it? But you know, what he was saying, look, we can be too proper in our lives. We can try to be too straight. And we don't see that God wants us to work off at that tangent or off at that tangent. You know, and as a church, do you know, we've got our own little box here, haven't we? And we could be very comfortable in it, you know. And there's a church that's opened up down the road, for instance, that goes about its affairs in quite a different way to us. And there's a church across the way there that goes about its way in a completely different way to us. And there's a church up the top of the hill that goes about its way in a completely different way to us. But you know, we can put God in a box and we can say, well, God can only work here. But he can't. And he doesn't. God works up on the top of the hill, and he does. God works in that church over the road down there, and he does. And God works in that church down the road down there, and he does. Do you know? And God even works where people in areas and in gatherings and with people that we can't really believe he could work at all. You know, can God speak into the heart of a Muslim? Of course he can. For God so loved the world. You know, can God speak into the heart of a Buddhist? A Buddhist monk? Can God speak into the heart of a Buddhist monk? Of course he can. God can intervene in the hearts and the lives of any single person in this world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God cannot be put in a box. God can work and God can speak in any and every situation. You know, it's significant that God speaks to Cornelius so directly. Do you know? He called him by name. You know, there's something special, isn't there? You know, about being called by your name. You know? No, after, Andrea isn't here, right? So I can say it. You know, nothing like Jim with that, Andrea sitting by there. But I'm going to say something, you know, I'll say something nice, you know? You know, I still love it, and I do, when Andrea calls me by my name. Do you know? It's incredible, isn't it, really? It's bizarre in a way. But, you know, I love it when she says, John, most of the time, do you know? Most of the time, do you know? But it's, you know, it is something special, isn't it? When somebody calls us by name. And, you know, God called Cornelius by name. And then he saw a vision. He saw a vision of an angel. And the angel gave him a message. One message, right? He gave him one message. And he said, go and get Simon, whose name is Peter, and bring him here. Give it once. Do you know? Cornelius responded almost immediately. Peter, you know, the great apostle Peter, the one whose church was built in, whose the church in Rome is named after, you know, the one who they, who lots of people say is the rock on which this church is built. You know, there's a little bit of theology thrown around there, I know. But the great Peter had a vision, not of an angel, but he had a vision of a pig, basically. Do you know, a four-legged creature that was unclean, which dropped on a sheet from heaven. And God, in his word to Peter, as he was in prayer and he saw this vision of these unclean, clean four-legged animals and the locusts and the snakes and whatever it was, the reptiles coming down on their sheet, and God said to him, get up, kill and eat. Peter said to God, mind, the command from God in prayer, take and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. Right? And then the sheet came down again. And, you know, locusts, pigs, big, you know, succulent pieces of pork, I don't know. And God said to him, take and eat. And Peter said, not so, Lord. And then it happened the third time. And Peter said, not so, Lord. The great Peter had a bit of a habit of saying no to God. Do you know? Cornelius, God talked once to, and he responded. You know, and I, you know, thinking about this, do you know? Not so, Lord. And what a contradiction that is, do you know? When God calls us to do something, you know, are we a Cornelius that will get up and get on with it on the first call? Or does it take, in effect, you know, four shouts from God and a bit of a blast to get us to do things? Peter's response really was absurd. Do you know? He knew God was speaking to him. And sometimes in our life, we know God is speaking to us. We know that God is trying to get through into our minds and into our hearts and is telling us to do something. And we throw out, no, not so, Lord, I'm not doing it. not so, like, not so, Lord, I'm not doing, because it's uncomfortable to us, because it'll be, there'll be a cost to it, because we know, you know, we know that it's going to change things. No. 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 The only legitimate answer that Peter should have given to that request or that command was yes. Do you know? When God speaks to us, the only legitimate response from us is yes. The bizarre thing about this story, that one man saw an angel, and one man saw a sheet of unclean things. God spoke to one man in one part of the country who was a Roman centurion, and God spoke to another man in another part of the country who was an ex-fisherman, who had become a bit of a rebel in a strange sect. Do you know? Somehow God brought them together and turned this world upside down. And it's amazing. God brought them together and turned this world upside down. In the end, they both responded to the voice of God. You know, Peter threw off his prejudice, and Peter went into the house of a Roman centurion, even though he was a strict Jew, if you like, and wasn't supposed to go into the house. Peter went into the house of the centurion, and Peter spoke the word of God. You know, and the barriers came tumbling down. The prejudices came tumbling down. And God moved. God moved. Do you know? The Spirit came. God's Holy Spirit came upon those people. They were empowered from the very throne of God. They were filled with joy. They praised God and they worshipped. And you know, they went out from that place and they spread the word of God, without prejudice, without any feelings of self-insecurity that God could bless those. They went out and they proclaimed the gospel of God. You know, it came from a heart that was sincere. It came from a heart that was filled with compassion. It came from a people and from individuals who prayed. You know, I came across when I was studying for this message, this prayer. And it touched me, you know. I'm gonna read it out, say a few words, and then we'll close. I just want you to hear this. It's entitled "Live the Way You Pray." I knelt to pray when day was done, and prayed, "O Lord, bless everyone. Lift from each saddened heart the pain, and let the sick be well again." And then I awoke another day and carelessly went on my way. The whole day long I did not try to wipe a tear from any eye. I did not try to share the load of any brother on the road. I did not even go to see the sick man just next door to me. Yet once again, when day was done, I prayed, O Lord, bless everyone. But as I prayed into my ear, there came a voice that whispered clear, Pause, hypocrite, before you pray. Whom have you tried to bless today? God's sweetest blessings always go by hands that serve him here below. And then I hid my face and cried, Forgive me, Lord, forgive me, God, for I have lied. Let me live another day, and I will live the way I pray. You know, Cornelius was a man who prayed, but he was a man who showed compassion. Peter was a man who prayed, and Peter was a man who went out and sacrificed his life. For the message of the gospel. And went about his life bringing hope and peace and the truth and the love of God to people in that day. You know, if there was ever an age then we need that we need to show the love of God, it's today. If there's ever a day that we need to put aside prejudices, and this country is full of prejudices, if there's ever been a day where we need to put aside our prejudices and break through and show the love of God into communities that are different from ours, then it's today. If there's ever a time where God needs to touch people's lives in this country and this city of Swansea, it's today. And he does it by us. He does it by me. You know, I've got to examine myself. What am I doing in my life? You know, what's our reputation? What's my reputation in my neighborhood, in the place that I work or have worked? You know, what do we stand for? Who are we? You know, God, by his Holy Spirit, came upon those people. And they went out from that place. They preached the word of God. And they showed the love of God. You know, as we go from this place, you know, God wants us to preach the word of God. And he wants us to show and to act the word of God in our lives. He wants us to be a people who pray and who practice what the Christian message is all about. Throw aside the prejudice and fill our hearts. Allow our hearts to be filled with the love and the purpose of God. It's a message from Acts 10. And a message that there are no favorites. It's a message that God shows no prejudice. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.